Before we start, please check out our new podcast, Good Sleep. Have you ever noticed how a calm mind can really set the stage for a good night's sleep? That's the idea behind our new podcast, Good Sleep. Greg, our host from Optimal Relationships Daily, is here to help ease you into a peaceful night's rest with some positive affirmations. And these affirmations aren't just comforting, they can help ease anxiety and nurture positive thoughts, setting you up for a true good sleep. So press play on Good Sleep tonight because a good tomorrow starts with a good night's sleep. Just search for Good Sleep in your podcast app and be sure to pick the one from Optimal Living Daily. This is Optimal Living Daily episode 2505, The Disease of More, part two by Mark Manson of markmanson.net. And I'm Justin Mollick, the guy that reads to you every single day of the year. And today's episode is part two of a longer post. If you didn't catch part one yesterday, I'd recommend listening to that first. But if you're all caught up, let's get right to part two and continue optimizing your life. The Disease of More, part two by Mark Manson of markmanson.net. Some psychologists call this constant chasing of pleasure the hedonic treadmill because people who are constantly striving for a better life end up expending a ton of effort only to end up in the same place. But wait, I know what you're saying. WTF, Mark, doesn't this mean there's no point in doing anything? No, it means that we need to be motivated in life by something more than our own happiness. It means that we have to be driven by something greater than ourselves. Otherwise, you'll simply run and run towards some vision of your own glory and improvement towards your perfect 10, all the while feeling as though you're in the same place. Or worse, like Riley's championship teams, slowly undermining what got you there to begin with. Self-improvement as a glorified hobby. Back in my early 20s, when I was what I would characterize as a self-help junkie, one of my favorite rituals every year was to sit down around New Year's and spend hours mapping out my life goals, my vision for myself, and all of the amazing shit I was going to do to get myself there. I analyze my desires and values and end up with a sexy and impressive sounding list of largely arbitrary goals filled with stuff like taking a bongo class or making a certain amount of money or finally nailing that ever elusive six pack. But I eventually learned that the funny thing about self-improvement for the sake of self-improvement is that it doesn't inherently mean anything. It's just a glorified hobby. It's something to keep you occupied and to enthusiastically discuss with other people who have the same hobby. It took me a long time to accept the fact that just because something can be improved in my life does not mean that it should be improved in my life. The improvement is not the problem, it's the why that's motivating the improvement that matters. When one compulsively looks to improve oneself without any greater cause or reason driving it other than self-aggrandizement, it leads to a life of immense self-preoccupation, a light and beneficent form of narcissism where one's constant attention and focus is on oneself. And ironically, this will probably make your life worse off. Years ago, a friend of mine once told me, quote, "The best decision I ever made in my life was to join a support group. 3 years later, the best decision I ever made in my life was to stop attending my support group," end quote. I think the same principle is true with all forms of self-improvement. Self-improvement tools should be used like bandages, only to be opened and applied when something is hurt or seriously wrong, and with the goal always being to eventually remove them. Life is not a game of improvement, but rather a game of trade-offs. I think many people see life in terms of linear growth and improvement. This is probably only true when you're young. As a kid, your knowledge and understanding of the world grow massively each year. As a young adult, your opportunities and skills grow rapidly as well. But once you hit adulthood, once you're established and have developed expertise in certain areas, because you've already invested so much time and mental energy into your skills and assets, life is no longer simply a question of improvement, but rather of trade-off. I've spent 10 years developing my ability as a writer. I've managed to conjure a successful writing career for myself. If I turned around and wanted to become a DJ, on the one hand, you could argue I'm improving myself by expanding my talents and skill set. But to put the hundreds of hours to become competent at an entirely new artistic endeavor would force me to give up some opportunities as a writer. That 500 hours or whatever is necessary to DJ competently could be spent writing another book, starting a column at a prestigious magazine, or simply f***ing out a bunch more of these blog posts. The same was true with the NBA players who won championships. In their eyes, they were just moving up in the world. Yesterday, they won their first championship. Today, they're getting more commercials, a better locker, a big brand new house. What they didn't realize is what they were trading off. Their time and energy, now occupied by all sorts of new luxuries, was no longer able to focus on the nitty-gritty of basketball. And as a team, they suffered. Which brings me back to the guy in search of a coach I met a couple weeks ago. Ultimately, my advice to him was simply to be careful. Be careful with the drive to improve for the sake of improvement, the desire for more for no other reason than it's more. Be careful adopting new dreams and goals that could harm the success and happiness you've already built for yourself today. Or as the cliche goes, be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. Life is not a checklist. It's not a mountain to scale. It's not a golf game or a beer commercial or whatever other cheesy analogy you want to insert here. Life is an economy where everything must be traded for something else and the value of all things rise and fall with the amount of attention and effort you put into them. And in that economy, we each must eventually choose what you're willing to trade based on what you value. And if you're not careful with your values, if you're willing to trade things away for the sake of another hit of dopamine, another temporary trip to your own personal psychological 10, then chances are you're going to fuck things up. You just listened to part two of the post titled The Disease of More by Mark Manson of markmanson.net. Thank you again to Mark. Yesterday, we talked about how our average day tends to go back to the average over time. At least that's been my experience. Even when things overall, I would say, are significantly better than years ago, it still feels like on a day-to-day basis, the average day is, well, exactly that, average. So the next question is, then what's the point of everything? And Mark answered that quite well, I think. He said, it doesn't mean that there's no point in doing anything. It means that we need to be motivated in life by something more than our own happiness. And that's one of the counterintuitive parts about listening to a podcast about happiness. You or I might have come here searching for the solutions, the things that would make us happier. But in reality, that's often found as a side effect to us being driven by something greater than ourselves. Something with no finish line, an endless journey. It's up to you to figure out what that actually is. So something to think about while on your journey. Have a great rest of your weekend if you're listening in real time. And I'll catch you in just a moment with our weekly bonus episode where your optimal life awaits.